Thank you for the introduction. So the title of today's talk is Conectando Latinos en Parejas, a couple-based HIV prevention intervention for Latino MSM. No relationship to disclose other than the fact that my English is not very good looking. so bear with me. So here's the outlines of today's presentation. First, I'm going to go over some of the health disparities affecting Latino MSM in the United States. Then I'm going to jump into the actual project, Conectando Latinos en Pareja, where we adapted a best evidence-based intervention for Latino MSM. So I'm going to go over the first stage of the project, which was how we adapted the intervention. And then I'm going to provide some preliminary data on the quantitative findings, pretty much on everyone that is screened to be part of the study. That was an N of 176. So it's going to be qualitative and quantitative findings of the study. What we know is that, here's the data, Latinos account for 16% of the U.S. population, but 21% of the new HIV infections and 21% of the new AIDS diagnosis. Most of these infections are attributed to male-to-male sexual contact, and it's also really concentrated among younger Latino MSM. There are several prevention challenges leading to these high numbers. First, the prevalence of unprotected anal intercourse is really high. Also, the prevalence of substance use. Substance use has been reported between 26 and 40%. I'm glad that some of the researchers that have found this are here today, including Miguel Muñoz Lavoy. Some of these high numbers related to substance use are contributed by several factors, including pre- and post-migration experience, depression, experiences of discrimination when folks go and seek care. Also, condom use is less likely in established relationship. In fact, in our own work with Latino male couples, we found that relationship was associated with higher frequency of condomless anal intercourse and increase of alcohol consumption. Here's some of the data from our study. More than half of the sample reported condomless anal sex acts in the past 3 months. Most of them reported multiple sexual partners, and the majority of the sample is screened for problematic alcohol consumption. There's also limited research, right, on the growing health needs of Latino MSM, particularly those who have recently arrived, predominantly Spanish-speaking, and young Latino MSM. And only a few interventions in the DEVIC project target MSM, and none target Latino gay couples or predominantly Spanish-speaking Latino MSM. The good news is that we actually have a prevention toolkit with several new biomedical approaches, including PrEP, as was discussed here and has been discussed, NPEP, HIV self-testing kits, and stuff that have worked for heterosexual couples, including couples-based HIV prevention intervention. So relying on that, I actually applied for a couples-based intervention grant. It was a small $10,000 grant. Through an internal mechanism at the HIV Center, and we adapted Connect and Unite, which is a couple-based intervention for Black MSM for a new targeted population of predominantly Spanish-speaking Latino MSM in sexual relationship. And Connect and Unite was adapted from the Connect intervention. Maybe many of you are aware of this. Is the one of the DEVIs intervention for heterosexual couples. A little bit more about the data collection. Pre-screening of potential participants took place between January and March of 2014. Here's a snapshot of the eligibility criteria. At least one of the participants must self-identify Hispanic or Latino. We wanted to make sure that we tap on predominantly Spanish-speaking. So at least one of those partners, one of the partners must screen for limited English proficiency. We also wanted to make sure that we were tapping on folks that were engaging in condomless anal intercourse, so that was one of the inclusion criteria, either within or outside the relationship. And we also wanted to include folks that screen for substance using, illicit substance using, or problematic alcohol consumption. And we define it, we use the NIA definition for that. Now, how did we recruit participants? One of the key successes of this intervention, I mean, we recruited 20 couples in just a month and screened 166 participants in 3 months. And social media was the key to target this population. We used Grindr, Twitter, Facebook. We actually have now more than 20,000 folks engaged in these social media tools. One of the success of this social media recruitment campaign is the fact that community stakeholders, 20 community stakeholders, were part of the recruitment strategy. We wanted to make sure that every word that we put out there came from community folks, meaning couples themselves, providers, transgender folk, and recently arrived immigrants. So everything that you see there, the wording and everything, came from the community partners. We also built a website for free, Wix, an interactive website for folks to actually ask questions and be engaged with the project. Something really interesting, and I want to highlight this. What started as an HIV couple-based risk reduction intervention study turned out into actually a community, a social community, social networking community size, where participants shared their pictures, right, their love stories. I have been with my partner for 4 years. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. And that's why we actually decided to publish this paper at the Journal of Journal of Medical Internet Research, is because up to now, this population recently arrived, Spanish-speaking Latino MSM, were categorized as hard to reach. And that's not what we found, right? These folks are there, easy to recruit, and they were engaged in our project. We also use community-based organizations, HAF in New York City, Latino Commission on AIDS, Gay and Lesbian Center. We recruited through social venues on Jackson Heights, several clubs there, and through chain referral sampling. Here is an overview of the screening instrument, right? Demographic characteristics, substance use in the past 3 months, 30 days, and most recent substance, when was the most recent time that they used substance use, sexual behaviors in the past 3 months, 30 days, HIV and testing history, mental health. We use actually the CESD 10 item scale instead of the 20 scale that have been used by other researchers working with Latino MSM. We ask about the experience of discrimination and sexual experience, including childhood sexual abuse, and we operationalize that as forced and coerced sexual activity before the age of 17, and healthcare utilization. How did we do that? How did we adapt to the intervention? So here's pretty much how we did it. We had 20 couples, two cohorts, right? One with 9 couples, the other one with 11 couples, and they went through 3 intervention adaptation sessions where they provided feedback to intervention activities and homework assignment. Right after we went through this adaptation process with couples, we presented adapted intervention to providers. Does this work? Is this going to work in the real world? Pretty much, because we wanted to make sure that we're doing the right thing, right? That this is going to actually hopefully work at the community level. The actual steps are published at the Journal of Mental Health. You guys can check it out. But we follow 5 critical steps in the adaptation process, engaging community stakeholders, like I mentioned, from the screening and from the recruitment of participants to the dissemination of the study finding. You can see there's like 20 co-authors, which is unusual, but I wanted to make sure that everyone that was engaged in this process had a stake in what we published. Capturing the lived experience of Latino gay couples, once again through the intervention and adaptation sessions, what it's like to be a Latino gay man in a same-sex relationship, and so forth. Narrowing and identifying priorities, integrating the social cognitive theory into a relationship-oriented ecological framework. Pretty much we were following the connect and unite intervention with their theory, with their framework. We wanted to make sure that that was kept. And deconstructing and reconstructing the intervention. Here is a snapshot of the conceptual model. I know it's dense. We have moderators, mediators, and outcomes. Some of the unique moderators included in the model include immigration status, childhood sexual abuse, time in the United States. Some of the mediators, once again reflecting on social cognitive theory and relationship-oriented ecological model, include HIV protection methods, negotiation efficacy, sexual support for risk reduction at the couple level, and our primary outcome was to increase the proportion of HIV-protected anal sex acts, meaning condom, PrEP, and TASP-protected acts of anal intercourse. an overview of the participants, the sample, right? It was really diverse in terms of age, country of origin, and sexual identity. In fact, we had two self-identified transgender individuals and their partners being part of this adaptation workshop. Most of the participants screened for high-risk alcohol consumption. Here are some of the illicit substances consumed in the past 3 months. Popper and party clubs were the most used among this sample. And as you can see, a lot of these folks weren't in relationship for more than 12 months. So in terms of looking at the demographic and characteristics, these were, most of them were couples that have been in long-term relationships. Characteristics of the providers, once again, it's a really diverse group in terms of professional discipline, gender. When asked about the major challenges affecting Latino male couples, some of them included legal issues, HIV and STIs, mental health. When asked about the barriers in implementing the intervention, they highlighted the limited provider time, the limited training, in particular with gay Latino male couples, how to work with this new population. And when asked about the biomedical intervention, hey, is it okay if we include these new biomedical tools as part of this behavioral couple-based intervention? And they were really receptive to it. They say, yes, offer PrEP. Make sure that you offer MPEP, an HIV self-testing kit. And treatment as prevention, engage couples, especially those who are discordant couples, to get into treatment. On the qualitative findings, legal challenges emerge as a major theme. One of the participants stated, many people won't go and seek out services because they're afraid it will affect their immigration status. For fear of being found out to be undocumented, they don't seek help. Once again, biomedical intervention tools was another theme in this adaptation process. They were really receptive, the couples and providers. However, I just want to highlight a quote from a provider. PrEP should be an incentive towards the latter part of the study. Once participants have received information, knowledge, and counseling around PrEP. However, PrEP should not be passed out like a candy and should be especially promoted for zero discordant couples. So some food for thoughts for those folks that are pushing for PrEP, and let's make sure that we hear what providers are saying and what participants are saying. Don't promote it as a candy in a candy store. Overall feasibility and acceptability about the project, there was a sense that we need this type of intervention for couples. One of the participants stated, I have never seen a couple-based program. They usually focus on the individual gay men. And we need to help Latino gay couples we have in long-term healthy relationship and provide tools to deal with HIV. Here's a snapshot. Omar, you have talked a lot about the adaptation process. Here's the snapshot of the four sessions adapted biobehavioral intervention for Latino gay couples. In session two in particular, I want to highlight that couples are exposed to these all these biomedical tools, including condom. And with the facilitator, they evaluate these different prevention approaches, and they as a couple decide which of these tools work for them as a couple. We're not pushing it as a candy. We're not promoting PrEP as the only way. It's part of this is a toolkit with several strategies. You pick as a couple which one works for you with the help of the facilitator. Once again, I mentioned to you that I'm going to provide an overview of the total sample of all of those who actually screened, potential participants who screened to be part of the study. Diverse in terms of age, country of origin, gender, and sexual identity. 59% reported having medical insurance, and 35% reported being in the United States for less than 12 months. Most of the sample is screened, almost half of the sample, 46%, is screened for high-risk alcohol consumption. 68% of the sample is screened for clinically significant depressive symptoms. A substantial number, 34%, reported being HIV positive. 30% of the sample reported childhood sexual abuse. And 7% reported IPV in their relationship. We wanted to assess the correlates of high-risk alcohol consumption. This is one of the preliminary, it's not published yet, Here's a snapshot of that. Having more than one partner, engaging in condomless anal intercourse, and intimate partner violence was associated with high-risk alcohol consumption. We also did assess the correlates of depressive symptoms and condomless anal intercourse. Having more than one partner and reporting childhood sexual abuse was associated with clinically significant depressive symptoms. Being longer than 12 months in the United States and being in a long-term relationship, having more than one partner was associated with condomless anal intercourse. We also wanted to assess, this is all preliminary, not published, the correlates of HIV testing behaviors, right? And we found that age and education were positively correlated with HIV testing behaviors in the past 12 months, meaning if you're younger and having less than high school education, you were less likely to go and get tested. Two of the themes that emerge from the qualitative components that expand on these barriers to testing are here, including language barriers and discrimination in HIV testing and care settings. One participant noted that some service providers are very discriminatory against immigrant male and gay. Language barrier access to services. You know, and when you think about, wow, New York, bicultural, multicultural city, these are the issues that folks are facing when they go and seek care. This is real. Another participant who identifies as transgender commented that the risk of being made fun of exacerbates those obstacles, right? The risk of being made fun of by the provider is in fact a barrier, and she has faced that challenge. We're also looking at relationship dynamics and relationship factors and how they're associated with risky sexual behavior. This is now in the making, but here are some of the qualitative findings. One participant explained, the concept of being in a relationship has changed. Ya no es tan tradicional, not that traditional anymore. United in emotional bond, but not much fidelity. This study has several limitations, and I want to acknowledge that. From the qualitative adaptation study, this study was just focus groups with 20 couples, two cohort. We don't know if this actual intervention have preserved the efficacy, right, from the regional CONNECT intervention. From the quantitative component, this was a cross-sectional study design, so we cannot predict, we cannot make any casual claims. We had a modest sample size. It's important to know that we cannot generalize these findings. These are four folks recruited in New York City, mainly through social media apps. So it's important to keep that in mind. There's several issues with the NIA past 30 days, binge and heavy drinking measures, and we couldn't capture cultural norms related to drinking behaviors. There's three takeaway points that I want you to take from the qualitative component of the study. First, that this is not a hard-to-reach population, folks. You can get recently arrived Latino MSM, right? You can engage them in research, and once they're engaged in research, they can be agents of social change. They took over the social media tools and then made a revolution out of it. The intervention includes biomedical tools, right? It does include PrEP and access to HIV self-testing kits. So the adapted intervention is now a biobehavioral intervention. And the adaptation process that we follow can be used by other researchers, right? The steps that we follow can be used to adapt any other intervention. Four takeaway points from the quantitative analysis. Prevalence of high-risk drinking was really high. Let's make sure that providers in clinic are actually screening for high-risk alcohol consumption where they work with this population. Childhood sexual abuse was really, really high. 30% of the sample reported childhood sexual abuse. So let's make sure that we build culturally and linguistically appropriate interventions to deal with this experience that these folks are going through. The theme about relationship dynamic and time in the United States should be further explored and how that is associated with sexual risk behavior. And our data actually is in accordance with the new CDC data, right? Younger Latino MSM are less likely to go on getting tested. So we have to find ways, right, to get these folks and get tested. Maybe actually relying on these social media tools where these folks are at. I want to acknowledge the participants, everyone who took even a second of time to give us a call to be part of this study. My mentors, Scott Rhodes, Miguel Munoz, I started mentioning name, I shouldn't have done that. But they're here, and I want to thank my mentors who have been committed to my research, and thank you for that. And thank you for being here today.